My dear friends, today is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. It is also the second Sunday of Advent, and there is a proper last gospel today from this Sunday. The epistle for the Mass today is taken from the Old Testament Book of Wisdom, chapter 8. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways, before he made anything from the beginning. I was set up from eternity and of old, before the earth was made. The depths were not as yet, and I was already conceived. Neither had the fountains of water as yet sprung out. The mountains with their huge bulk had not as yet been established. Before the hills I was brought forth, nor he had not yet made the rivers, nor the earth, nor the poles of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was present. When, with a certain law and compass, he enclosed the depths, when he established the sky above and poised the fountains of waters, when he compassed the sea with its bounds and set a law to the waters that they should not pass their limits, when he balanced the foundations of the earth, I was with him, forming all things, and was delighted every day, playing before him at all times, playing in the world, and my delights were to be with the children of men. Now therefore, ye children, hear me. Blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, and that watcheth daily at my gates, and waiteth at the posts of my door. He that shall find me shall find life, and shall have salvation from the Lord. And the Holy Gospel. It's taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 1. At that time, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel being come in said unto her, Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. He that shall find me shall find life, and shall have salvation from the Lord. These words are taken from the Epistle of the Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, there was once a young man named John, whose mother had taught him to have a great devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. From the time he was a child, his good mother taught him to say the Hail Mary before going to bed each night, adding after it the words, O most blessed Virgin, help me at the hour of my death. After the death of John's parents, sad to say, he did not persevere in the practice of his faith. In fact, he lived such a dissolute life that his employer was obliged to dismiss him. In order to provide himself with food and shelter, John turned to a life of crime. First, he became a robber, and then even a murderer. But he never forgot the prayer which his mother had taught him. Despite his many sins and his evil habits, he never neglected to pray to Mary each night. After years of stealing and murdering, John was finally arrested one day. He was arrested, and then he was sentenced to death. As he sat in prison, waiting for his sentence to be carried out, he began to think with shame about all the evil he had done. And he began to think with sorrow about his mother. Now, at this point, the devil tried to take advantage of his condition, seeing John in such a sad state. And the devil actually appeared to the condemned criminal in the form of a happy young man. And the devil made a promise to John. He said, I will deliver you from prison and death if only you will agree to do what I say. John was so overwhelmed with fear and despair at the thought of death that he agreed to do whatever the devil commanded. First, said the devil, you must deny Christ and renounce his holy sacraments. John hesitated for a moment at this terrible proposal, but then he consented. The devil was delighted and he grinned happily as he pronounced the second condition. You must also promise me, said the devil, that you will renounce the Blessed Virgin Mary and give up her protection. At these words, however, John arose and he looked defiantly at the fallen angel standing before him. That, answered the condemned man, that I will never do. And then he repeated the words taught him by his mother. O most blessed Virgin, help me at the hour of my death. At these words, the devil instantly disappeared, and John received the grace of contrition for all his past sins. He called a priest and he made a good confession, weeping especially for having denied our Lord. And at the same time, he was overwhelmed with gratitude to Our Lady for having obtained mercy for him. On the day of John's execution, he was led forth from the jail to the place of execution. On the way, with the officials leading him, he happened to pass a wayside shrine in which there stood a beautiful statue of Our Lady. Moved with tenderness, the condemned criminal begged permission to kiss the feet of the statue before they passed by. At first, the guards refused, but finally, moved by John's ardent pleading, they allowed him to approach the shrine and kneel before it. John lovingly kissed the feet of the statue, and as he arose to leave, a miracle took place. The statue of Our Lady seemed to come to life. Mary extended her arm and took the young man's hand in her own. So tightly did Our Lady grasp his hand that it was impossible to free him from her hold. At the sight of this miracle, those who had followed him began to cry out for mercy for the guilty man. So great was their insistence, and so undeniable the miracle, that the judge had no choice but to order that John be released. From that day forward, the young man lived an exemplary life, and he was always filled with extraordinary and tender devotion towards Our Lady, who had delivered him both from temporal and eternal death. My dear faithful, today is the great feast of Mary's Immaculate Conception. On December 8, 1854, Pope Pius IX infallibly defined as a dogma of faith the fact that the Blessed Virgin Mary was preserved free from all stain of original sin from the first moment of her conception. Never for a moment was her soul stained with sin, and never for a moment was she under the devil's power. This privilege of Our Lady is unique. That is, no other member of the human race has ever shared this privilege. And why was she preserved from all stain of sin? She was preserved in view of the fact that she was to be the Mother of God. It was only fitting that she, who was to give a pure and holy human nature to God, should herself be absolutely pure and holy. Besides being preserved from original sin, Mary was also endowed with every grace and virtue, so much so that, as St. Gabriel says in the Gospel, she was full of grace. Thus, the Blessed Virgin Mary was the most perfect, the most holy, and the most beautiful creature ever made. We will really never know in this life what the Mother of God is like. Only in heaven will we see her as she really is. And yet, in sacred scripture, or even in the story of the condemned man, we do get a glimpse of her goodness. John was a thief and a murderer, who even went so far as to deny his faith in Christ in order to save his own life. But Our Lady would not let the little service he had always rendered her go unrewarded. She could not let him die alone and abandoned after he had so many times asked her help at the moment of death. And so she worked a miracle of grace to save his soul, and a miracle of nature to save his life. That's the kind of person the Mother of God is. That's the kind of person our Mother is. My dear friends, look to Our Lady during this holy Advent season. In the Epistle for the Mass today, we read the words which the Church applies to her. He that shall find me shall find life. That is, we must look to her example and imitate her in our daily lives. And if we do this, if we find her, we will have life everlasting. During Advent, we should have a resolution to practice a particular virtue or overcome some bad habit as a means of preparing ourselves for the coming of Christ. Our Lady is the perfect model of every virtue. She can show us the way to overcome whatever faults or failings we may have. If we are impatient, let us think of Our Lady suffering quietly on that long, uncomfortable journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. If we struggle with anger, consider how meek Our Lady was as door after door was closed in her face, as she and Saint Joseph sought shelter in Bethlehem. If you are cold and indifferent to God's love, think about how Mary's love grew every day as she awaited the birth of her son. And stir up your love for God by frequently raising your mind to him by means of little aspirations throughout the day. My dear friends, Mary can obtain for us the graces we need to grow in virtue. It's impossible to express in words the love God has for his mother. He will give her whatever she asks. And so let us go to her and ask her help, just as the man did in the story. As we strive to imitate her virtues, her patience, her meekness, her charity, ask her to help you. My dear faithful, spend the remaining time of Advent in the company of Our Lady. Think of her throughout the day. Think of how she would act, and think of how much she loves you. In recompense for your acts of devotion, she will take you under her protection, as she did the man in the story. When the devil tried to take John's soul, Mary obtained for him the grace of conversion. And when men tried to take John's life, Mary held him tight to herself. So will Mary take you under her care. If you persevere in following her example and in asking her for every grace, you too shall find life and shall have salvation from the Lord. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.